Ishar is Skyrim on the Amiga. It's Amigos, episode 350. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Amigos. I'm John.
And I'm Aaron.
And today, Aaron, we're going to be talking about Ishar. Yeah. Aaron, you know, when you think of it, you know, these games where you roam about the wilderness, you know, you got your woods, you got your towns, your fields. Did you ever roam about as a child?
Oh, I roam. I did quite a bit of roaming, actually. You know, in the olden days, our parents just let us roam free all over the countryside. That's what I did. Once that door opened and mom said, be back for dinner or lunch or whatever, it was go time. And so I was unrestricted movement all over the neighborhood. We'd go into the woods. I've walked over to the rest area, which is probably not good for a child because I was in my teen year when we did that. Walk to the neighboring park, walk everywhere and look, play in the creek, explore where the creek goes. We did all that stuff and it was great. I had a lot of fun back in those days.
Yeah. I did the same thing. They call those free range children these days.
Yeah.
And I was definitely a free range child. I would walk, you know, I grew up nearby Hurricane Town Elementary, and there's the trailer park. If you continue to walk up the hill behind the school, there's a trailer park on your left, and then you can go down over the hill and come up right behind the Baptist church. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'd walk down that way. I'd walk to Dairy Mart. Of course that was the big trip, walking to Dairy Mart. I used to walk the tracks in high school, home from high school on the tracks.
I've done that a few times, but that was across the road, Taze Valley Road, which was not the best, most fun road to cross on foot.
Yeah.
And so we didn't get over there too much, but I've walked the tracks, geez, all the way through Hurricane, in the Taze Valley and down into Culloden many times. So yeah, that was, you know, it's as a parent today, I can say without hesitation that the thought of my child doing this scares the hell out of me. And so he's on a tight leash. But luckily, at least, I can't speak for all kids, but I think most kids, they're self-leashed because they've got a device like one of these, and it's always or a switch or whatever. Mm-hmm. They seldom look up, and I'm begging this kid, look at this natural splendor. Look at the wonderment. Look at the beauty of it all. It takes anything to get him to look up from this thing.
Well, here's what you do. You take away his device.
Yeah.
You throw him. You physically throw him outside, slam the door, and lock it.
Get out.
Be back for dinner.
Yeah. But the problem is, you know, you ever have one of those, like, a pet that's, like, always been in your house? Then suddenly you throw them out in the yard, they don't do too good. And it'd be the same thing with the kid just kind of wandering around. You know, I don't like his chances, man. But, you know, as he gets older, you know.
Maybe you can ease him into it by turning him on to Ishar, Aaron.
Well,
just be like, Luke, this is the real world, buddy.
Listen, if Ishar,
experience it here.
If Ishar movement was like real life, I would have never grown up. I'd never be home.
Well, before we dive deep into Ishar, Aaron, it's been a busy week in the world of Amiga news. Shall we check it out?
Let's see what we got here, Boatster.
Amiga news.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron, we're kicking things off with our good buddy, Amiga Bill. Amiga Bill has just released a new video all about Commodore's acquisition of Amiga and all of those neato custom chips inside the Amiga with the men themselves, Dave Haney and Andy Finkel.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this yet.
This took place just a couple weeks ago over at VCF East, and they gathered the luminaries. If you look at the chapters of this video, they go through each individual chip. You know, the Agnes, the Daphne, the Porsche, the DMA, all of the stuff that went into the Amiga. They talk about all of it. So, I mean, you're not going to find a better video when it comes to the original sources talking about what mattered to them and what makes these things special than these three guys, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you got that right. This is, man, I don't know how this one skipped past me this week, but what a, you know, this looks like a great event. And VCF East, you know, I wish, as I was watching this unfold, I kept thinking to myself, man, I wish we'd gone to this thing. It's a hefty trip for us to get to this, because it's ended up towards Jersey or something like that. And but I mean, we may have to think about giving it a whirl, because that would have been a sight to see, just to see these guys up there at this thing. But this is, I can't wait. Did you watch much of this thing, Bo?
I watched some of it. A lot of it I don't understand, because they go deep, Aaron. They go deep. Of course, you know, I have some amount of history with Mr. Haney.
Yeah.
From our ill-fated Amiga Ireland interview. This time, he gets to, you know, let down his hair, metaphorically and literally. Mm-hmm. And they go an hour and 30 minutes. So it's a very in-depth, good interview. I'm sure Bill doesn't put out anything but the best. So everybody that's listening to this should definitely check it out. And if you're not subscribed to the Guru Meditation YouTube channel, give them the old sub.
Those boys always do the good stuff. And, of course, they were probably King Dong's bell of the ball up at that thing. So, yeah, that looks great. Yeah. I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Aaron, our next story is a story that's going the Castlevania. Do you see that on your screen, Aaron?
No, I've got the Crystal Amiga here, Boat.
Okay, well, we'll go to the Crystal Amiga next. Looks like my Reddit's mod has spammed out two of the game stories this week, so we'll have to go back to him next week. The Crystal Clear Amiga 500. Ooh, let's talk
even
about
the mouse.
It,
I haven't seen this either. This looks great.
Now, I did watch this, because if there's anything that excites me, it's crystal clear cases for old computers and consoles.
Is that
there's
true?
There's something cool. Yeah, absolutely. That's a shoot. There's something that I love. And that's the thing. Like, people make fun of, like, modern PC cases because they've got the glass sides and everything. I love that stuff because I love being able to gaze into the innards of whatever I'm working on, you know, whether it's a steak dinner, or whether it's an Amiga 500, I want to gaze into those innards, baby.
You see, I think that having a glass case is geek-rific, I'll be honest with you. Now, that much said, this looks awesome, don't get me wrong. But on a PC, because when you look inside a PC, it looks dumb. Or it makes me think of all the work I've had to do on these things over the years. So I don't want to look in there. I want it to literally be welded shut so I never have to go in there. This, on the other hand, what's the scoop on this? Is this something that's going to be for sale, Boat?
As far as I know, this is, I believe it was a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And so you can check out the link on the Amiga News story there over at Reddit, r/AmigaNews, and you can check out how much this thing is being sold for. But I do believe that this thing is for sale. If it's not for sale, it was Kickstarted. And oh, here it is. Yeah, you get the Amiga 500 Crystal Bundle from the old A1200.net. This thing is 179 euros, Aaron.
So it's
not that bad.
Those guys are doing it, eh?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
What this guy needs desperately to go, because that looks awesome. And if you're watching at home or listening at home or in the car, we've got a guy here with a crystal clear Amiga. Looks like an Amiga. Was it a 500? And he's got, it looks great, but it's got that nasty keyboard stuck in it.
Right.
And the keyboard looks like double butt. So he needs to get himself a cool keyboard. Hey, it'd be cool if they made a crystal keyboard, but that'd really make it crazy. But the
mouse
mouse is also see-through. Pretty cool. I mean, I'd say that's a good look. I kind of like that, Boat. I wonder how the quality is.
Well, I mean, I would think that this thing is your typical, you know, these your PVC type, you know, clear acrylic, not PVC, but acrylic. And acrylic is, I mean, it's strong unless you attempt to break it, and then it will snap like nobody's business. So I wouldn't suggest dropping this off any high surface, but if you're, you know, it looks great. I would snap one of these things up in a second.
I just noticed this is Jan Beta. I think that's the way you pronounce his name. This guy's does all kinds of cool stuff. I don't know if he got early access to this or whatever, but I wouldn't be surprised because he's a big deal. But this looks really nice, Boat. What'd you say that price was again? Could you remind me?
179 euros.
So you were talking 215, 220 US dollars, give or take?
Right.
Yeah, you're getting up there. But, I mean, that's a special one there, so I'm going to let that one slide. That's not bad. Pretty good, Boat. I like that.
Now, Aaron, if I could persuade you to refresh your page,
sir.
The hidden news stories will return.
Oh, boy.
So scroll on down there to the old Castlevania.
I got it, Boat, right here, buddy.
Now, Aaron, you and I, well, I don't know. What are your thoughts on Castlevania? Do you like it?
Well, Castlevania for the Amiga was crapiola. Crapola. Yeah. I was watching a stream the other night, and some chick was playing these games, and she was like, man, I can't get enough of this. Oh, she was playing the Amiga, the A500, and she was like, man, I can't get enough of the Amiga version of Castlevania. And I couldn't remain silent. I'm like, what?
I'm like, I definitely can get enough of it.
Are you out of your mind? This is double garbage. And then she wrote back to me. She's like, well, I like it. I was like, okay, whatever, man. But crap. So, yeah, but this. Yeah. So, what do we got here?
This is the Castlevania. This is a port, I believe, of the old X68000 version.
Yeah. That's the money. That's the money port right there.
Yeah, and this is the of course the AGA only. It's being developed in the Scorpion engine, courtesy of Eeroc. There's a short video you can see of this thing. The music is outstanding. The animation looks great. This is Castlevania as it should have been for sure.
Yeah, that looks just from watching that short video there and looking at these stills. This looks great. Now, I'm not going to lie, Castlevania is not like my favorite game, you know, but that much said, a lot of people like it. And if you're going to do it right. You know what I mean? And this looks like they went in there and took care of business. This shows you right here. I mean, the Amiga is more than capable of running a lot of these games. They just didn't do a great job, or they've learned a lot. Of course, Eeroc, we know he's all man. So,
So you can download this demo right now. The whole level one is in there, right up to the boss. So this thing is coming along, and maybe around this time next year, we might be taking a look at this as a new game on Amigos. You never know, man.
Do we know if this, does this run on a stock AGA machine, Boat?
This runs on a base A1200.
Oh, sweet. See that? Okay. Yeah. I'm totally fine with that. I'm on board.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, big news from Eeroc. So, Aaron, we move on down the line here. And speaking of gaming, the Game Jam, Aaron, is about ready to launch. You know, it seems like we just wrapped up our Game Jam from 2021, and the next Game Jam for 2022 is launching May 31st. And this is all about Blitz Basic, Aaron. These are how awesome of a game can you code in Blitz Basic? When you hear a game is coded on Blitz Basic, Aaron, what's your first thought?
I'm like, yes, I like Blitz Basic. I mean, listen, let's not fool ourselves. I'm not programming Joe, but I do know programming Joe and programming Jane and some other good programmers, and they always expostulate on the virtues of Blitz Basic. A very popular amongst its people types programming language. Both
this jam is hosted by a guy that we've heard of called Zuper Dan.
I've
definitely heard that name before.
Yeah.
And he's basically, I think he has put up the prizes. The prizes include an A500 Mini, some gift cards of $175.
Whoa!
In a deluxe Mini Monster Retro Gaming Joystick Kit, Aaron. So he's you know, Aaron, we should sponsor one of these game jams at some point. I think that would be super cool to have an Amigos game jam. What do you think?
Yeah, because it's self-serving. We need more games.
That's right.
Make more good games.
And we pick the one. So you got to make games that we like. We got to say, you know, if
so now you're throwing in
Lionheart remake game jam.
Listen, you can't improve that game. Try again. Try like Altered Beast would be one I would put up. Let's see if we can do something with that.
So, in the words of Zuper Dan, the idea behind this jam is to grow the community and increase knowledge and awareness around the Amiga and use of Blitz Basic to create games. This means that all submitted games must include the source code so that beginner developers will have examples to study and learn from. So this is not just send in your game, but this is like sending your game in the code so all of us can make better games. I love that, man.
It's a good idea. Listen, these guys know what they're doing, Bo. We don't have to worry about that. I like it, man. I think it's cool. And I you know, the last one did great. So I hope this one does just as well.
Yeah. Now, this next news story, Aaron, hits very close to home in the Amigos community because this is an application by our own, the one, the only, Level Lord, Aaron.
Oh, yes.
A new version of his application, Level Pointers, has been released. What is Level Pointers? It is a modern high-res set of pointer presets for Amiga 3.2. These are loosely based on some existing pointers for Linux that are licensed under a Creative Commons agreement. So if you are scrolling through your modern Amiga workbench and you find that at a high resolution, your pointer is just too small, and I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm getting to an age where that's starting to happen more and more.
Oh, my.
Download yourself some of these high-res pointers. They are free and available on AmiNet. From our own Level Lord. And Aaron, I don't know if you heard about this, but Level Lord's going to be joining us at BoatFest this year.
Listen, I believe Level Lord was the fellow that mentioned that B&B that's right across the street from my house. And I think he booked it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he did. He booked it.
Me and the family drove up to the B&B last night. It's like literally, I could probably hit it with a rock from here if I threw it hard enough. And someone's taking an old farm, you know, that has woods and crap on it, and they just graveled a really nice road up in the middle of it, and they stuck up one of these cargo containers up there. So we might just have to hang out and party with Level Lord on Friday night.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear. Oh, yeah. I believe I saw them talking about this mouse pointer gimmick in the Discord. So, like, it's nice to see that somebody's working on this stuff. And I felt like I sort of was on the ground floor. You know, I didn't know what he was talking about. So that was cool. Story of my life.
All right, Aaron, our next story is an Amiga article, in The Guardian, one of the largest, online and I guess they still make a paper version of it, newspapers in the UK. And this is an article called "It Was the Poor Man's Studio."
Yeah, I didn't like that
name. Computers reprogrammed modern music. You took exception with the name.
Well, for one thing, a poor man didn't have enough money to buy an Amiga, even if it was a good deal. And number two, they acted like the Amiga's musical capabilities were like dumb guy. I was like, wait a minute, have you heard music? I mean, what are we doing here? People made good music with the C64. That was a cheap alternative. The Amiga was way more expensive. So I don't know. Did you read this article?
I would go so far as to call the ST the poor man's studio.
Of course, it starts off with I agree with you on that.
Well, massively cheaper than the Amiga and much more widely used than the Amiga for music.
Yeah. So. And it starts off with a big, massive super cuss right at the very first word.
That's how they do it in the UK. And the Guardian that gets you right there with the
poor man. Come on, Guardian. Kids want to read these articles. What's going on here? I can't believe I'm standing up for the kids.
If you want to read all about the garage and jungle and underground rave scene created with the Amiga, it's pretty much everything that I hate about life. You can check out this article.
You hate? Listen, I love this. I like the music that the Amiga creates. You know, and I like the music the Atari ST creates too, and the C64. They all did good work. Now, of course, but you're right. You were dead on about the ST. Here's a computer with musical chops, the built-in MIDI, and that was way cheaper than the Amiga at launch. You know, so yeah, that whoever wrote this either didn't know what he was talking about or just ignored that, I guess. I don't know.
Well, what you do is you say, well, which computer has the bigger street cred these days? The Amiga, 1,000%. So if you put Amiga in a headline on The Guardian, you get some goose from West Virginia talking about it on their podcast.
And I believe they also...
Mission accomplished.
They also mislabeled an Amiga 1000 as an Amiga 500, I believe. It was an added dumb guy bonus.
I love
bonus.
That myself, yeah.
So there you go.
All right, Aaron, now it's time to thank and appreciate our sponsor, Retro Rewind.
Oh, yes.
RetroRewind.ca. They have a new product out this week, and I think if you're listening to this podcast, you're going to be excited about it. This is the A630 accelerator for the Amiga 600, Aaron.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to read the stats down with this bad boy.
All right.
The A630, this is the Rev2. It comes with an 030 clocked at 50 megahertz. It's got 64 meg of RAM, and it is fully compatible with the Amiga 600's PCMCIA slot and works with any compact flash or SD card solution.
Nice.
This bad boy features integrated active cooling to make sure your Amiga 600 runs nice and cool. And you couple this thing with a compact flash or SD card to IDE adapter, and that's it. You've got the perfect WHD load machine. I mean, this thing will do it all, unless it all means AGA, which you don't need because it sucks. So here's the, you know, I've got this Amiga 600 sitting here, Aaron.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this thing, this bad boy, to BoatFest with me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see if Frank will pop an A630 in there for me while I'm there. And then I'm going to be off to the races once we figure out the reason why the joystick constantly pulls to the left.
Now,
that's another reason why I'm taking that bad boy to me.
Let me ask you a question, Boat, and maybe I missed this, but what is the A630? What's the price on this thing? What's this thing going for money-wise?
This thing, $225, Aaron, $225.
Not too shabby, Boat. It's good to see these accelerators are coming down into the land of the Poe Man, you know, since
that's
it is
right.
The Poe Man's computer. That I'm glad to see that the Poe folk are getting a shot at it. That's a pretty good price right there, Boat.
Especially if you use the promo code AMIGOS10 at checkout. Use that code, you can save yourself 10%. That's $25. You can get this thing for $200, Aaron, $200.
Good angle, Boat. I like it. And, of course, if you, as Boat mentioned, Frank isn't just a guy who sells cool, awesome, cutting-edge gear for your computer. He'll take care of your business when it comes to doing repairs. He'll take care of you for recapping. He will take care of you for not just the Amiga, but for the Commodore line in general, all the C64s, the CDTVs, and, of course, our beloved Coco is also in the mix. So Frank out. He's got the goods. He'll take care of your old school, Boat.
Absolutely. All right, Aaron, it's time to move on to this week's Game of the Week, Ishar.
Oh, man. Boat, I always ask, but I think I know the answer to this one. Have you ever, up until this week, had you ever heard of or played this game?
You know, if I saw Ishar walking down the street before this week, I would cross the road and then move in the opposite direction simultaneously.
Pre-burial. That's not good. Let's get into it a little bit, Boat, and then we'll get into the dissection of said game. And by the way, I'd not heard of this either, if I'm honest. I mean, it's one of those things you probably see a million times. You're like, meh, and just don't even think about it. The true full title of this, Ishar, Legend of the Fortress, Boat. Legend of the Fortress.
Which, just now, for the first time in my life, I've read that as Fortress and not Forest.
Yeah, different. Legend of the Forest, totally different game.
I read it wrong this whole week.
So, this had a double release on the Amiga. The original OCS-ECS version came out in 92, and then the Big Dog came out in 93, the AGA version. I played the AGA version because I read that not only was it in AGA, it was, you know, more colors, but also that they had some bug fixes and whatnot in there, some ease of use sort of fixes for it. This is a two-disc joint, one player. This is a sort of your classic exploration role-playing game with a twist. This was developed by the French developer Simarillus. Help me out here, but Simarillus.
I think it's Silmarillus.
Yeah, not easy.
It's like Silmarils. That's what it is. It's Silmarils. It's like the Silmarillion.
They've got a better language skill than the big F than I do when it comes to stuff. That outfit developed on the Amiga. They also developed Ishar 2 and Starblade. They also published this, Boats. This was a full Monty here for Samaras. I can't say that to save my life. They did publish all the Ishar games. It's funny that they didn't develop the third one. They also published a few other titles here. Actually, quite a few. Just a few that I looked at, and I'd never heard any of these. Mad Show, Manhattan Dealers. We got to try that one sometime, Bo.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good. Metal Mutant, Robinson's Requiem, and a game called Targan. The coder on this, I'm wondering about these, and I tried to look into this, but I didn't see much. The coder on this was a guy named Andre Rouquet. One of the other coders was Los Marie Roquette. So I'm assuming maybe that they're either married or brother
Los
sister.
Los Marie Roquette.
Or is that Los Marie is a lady's name, but right? Am I right here?
It's hard to tell in France.
Yeah, and I don't want to disparage this person, but I'm going to go on the record here, and I would assume that they're at least related. All right.
Okay.
But anyway, this guy was this Andre. And Louis Marie over the coders on this. They worked on the second one. A few other games that I mentioned. They also worked, I will say, they worked on Transarctica. So that's one we actually covered a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Another coder was Michael Pinot. pretty much worked on the same games. Most of these guys all worked on the same stuff that came from this developer. He also worked on a game called the Boston Bomb Club. We've talked about that one a few times over the years, but we should definitely check that one out one of these days, too. This game is all about exploration with sort of a first-person perspective. It's your kind of classic... it's your classic Eye of the Beholder sort of a thing where you can move forward with the keypad or the arrow.
This is your classic frame by frame dungeon crawler.
That's right.
Except you're not in a dungeon.
That's the appeal of this. At least that's what I've been told from reading various reviews. Is that this was one that was placed a lot more emphasis on the outdoor exploration of this thing. Now, I don't know if, did you read, I know you read the docs, at least to figure out what you were doing. Did you actually read the flavor text to try to figure
out? Yeah. It was your typical fantasy schlock.
So, apparently, now this game, by the way, is a sequel to Crystals of Aboria, okay? That game I'd actually heard of. I never played that one either. So, I'm assuming that some of the backstory was what happened in Crystals of Aboria, because the backstory of this game... Basically, a big hero came and vanquished an original foe, which I assume that was you in the first game. Then the big hero was killed, and in the power vacuum, a new bad guy rose up, basically, to seize control of the area. And so your job here is to basically get through and take him out. That's pretty much, I mean, that's the Cliff Notes version. There's a lot more to it if you read deep into it. But like Boat said, it's not like they... This was not the ultra-great storytelling that one might hope for. But it wasn't horrible, you know.
No, I mean, you don't really need a huge backstory with it.
So, I'm just going to talk about the basic nitty-gritty here, but then I'm going to let you chime in on your experiences. That way we can... And you please jump in when you hear me screw up. So, in this game, just the actual game itself, you are in a first-person perspective... on the right-hand side of the screen, you've got a compass, and you've got arrows that point in north, south, east, west, and then a couple arrows that let you strafe, which I will say that was a handy addition in here. I enjoyed that. And I will say, this is how I moved through the game. I didn't use the arrow keys. I actually used the on-screen arrows. What did you do, Bo, to move?
Oh, well, like a civilized person, I have a numpad on my keyboard.
Yeah, that's another reason why I didn't use
them. Yeah. Wedge-free.
Yeah.
I use the numpad exclusively because that's the way to move in a game like this. If you're using the mouse, you're a sucker.
Well, I'm a sucker because it's funny. I always played all these games that exact same way. I've always done it that way. So anyway, as you go through the game, you've got your lead character and it basically plucks you down in the woods. I mean, for all intents and purposes. And you've been instructed to go and take this tower, but you don't know what you're doing. That's just what the docs say. And the first thing you do is you meet a guy who tells you there's a town south of your position, okay? And so, I don't know if that's what you did, Bo, but the first thing I did was head south. Now, the screen is split in basically in thirds. One part of the screen is just what you see in front of you. It's a rectangular view. Then, of course, you've got, to the right of that, you've got what I told you, the compass and the arrows. And then below that... You've got a line of boxes, and this is where your party resides. And there'll be a picture in these boxes. And then as you flip through them, you can also flip through their stats. And then above their pictures, there's an action and attack button for each character, right? And underneath, it shows you how much hit points they've got left. That's pretty much the setup. You roam through here. It's not smooth scrolling. It's sort of a block by block, just like your classic dungeon explorer games that Boat loves so well. Boat, with that setup, give me your thoughts as you embarked on something I knew you were probably a lot looking forward to.
Okay, so there's a lot to like about this game. This game is huge. It's a huge world to explore. Okay, one of my major gripes with dungeon crawlers is that you are literally crawling around in a dungeon. Okay, when I play a video game, I want to do something that I would actually want to do in real life. Guess what I don't want to do in real life? Crawl around a dungeon.
Or sewer.
Yeah, or
which is
sewer.
Another haunt, yeah.
Guess what I do want to do in real life? Roam around a fantasy world with tons of characters. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Go to the pub where there's lots of scantily clad ladies roaming about.
At least
one. That sounds
one.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this game, you go through, and you meet NPCs. You invite them to join your party. Okay. Then you go to different places and you talk to people. You go to the inn, you go to the pub, and you pick up quests. There are actually quests to do in this game. Okay, these quests involve going to other places, going to there are dungeons in this game, going to different dungeons, defeating monsters, finding treasures. All throughout this game, you're also encountering enemies in the overworld. There are different kinds of monsters and animals and things. And when you kill them, they drop their traditional bag of gold, you know, just like hyenas in the wilderness. And you take that gold, and you can use your gold to buy, you know, upgrade your equipment. You go to shops. This is your typical role-playing game experience played out in the first person. And that's cool. This is a unique game. I've never played a game like this before that gives you that deep of a role-playing experience within the sort of confines of your block-by-block dungeon crawler mechanic. This game, you have tons of different people that you can have in your party. You can go to a tavern, and you can enlist the help of people that are just called unknown. And you don't know who they are. Or you can seek out known people by talking to, you know, you might talk to somebody and say, well, if you go over here, you can find this guy and he'll want to join your party. Each one of these characters comes with their own strengths and weaknesses. And when you want somebody out of your party, you actually have to vote them out. They have to be voted out. So everybody that's say you can have up to 5 people in your party. They take a vote, and if they don't want them to leave, then that person won't leave unless you physically kill them, which you can actually do.
I've never seen that in any of these. And I will say, the first time it popped up, it popped up like after you have one guy in your crew and then you go to recruit somebody else, it pops up to where they say the I agree or whatever. And I remember thinking, what the hell is that? And then it popped up again. I'm like, what is it? So I got in the docks. I'm like, that's crazy, and I like that. I will say that was a very interesting addition. You could even clandestinely kill people in your party if the other people don't want them to leave. You know, right. So you could really. And by the way, as a D&D guy, this happens all the time in D&D, where the players have a lot of inner party baloney going on. It's great as a GM to foster their stupidity by trying to turn them against each other. So, but as a player, it's the worst. It's the worst. So, and in this game, as a player, I actually sort of enjoyed that aspect of it, I will say.
Now, in this game, you do not play as a single character. You basically play as your party, one or more members of your party. So you start out with a real doofy-looking guy. He's dressed in some sort of like a 70s like tight jumpsuit that you might see in a prog rock band.
It's awesome.
But you can talk. You can have the first guy you meet, you can have him join your party. Then you can have him immediately kill your starting player, which is what you
did
know,
you
we're
do
watching
that?
This. No, but the person that we're watching the playthrough of did. So apparently it's a good thing to do. Apparently your starting guy is no good. Okay. Now, when you see these characters, okay, each one of the characters in the game is a fully drawn, like, headshot of the player.
Yeah.
So, again, another thing that I hate about dungeon crawlers is most of the time when you play these games, you are just some faceless weasel that's just roaming about, you know, killing junk in a dungeon. That's no good. I want to see who I am. You know, I want to see who I am. And this game lets you do that. And this game lets you be whoever you want to be.
There's
if
lots
you want
of
to be Sheila or Targon or whoever. Yeah, there's tons and tons of different characters. And like I said, they all have their own weapons and armor and all the stats. All the role-playing stuff, the back-end stuff is all here in this game. Okay? So, I've told you about what essentially is a game like Skyrim for the Amiga. I mean, on the surface of it, this game sounds awesome.
I never thought of it that way.
However,
however,
this game has serious flaws. Serious flaws. The first flaw is that there is no mapping system in this game. Okay? I mean, there is no auto map. There is no way that you can kind of zoom out and see where you are relative to anything else. And so if you gave somebody a continent the size of a continent in Skyrim and gave them no map and made you, you know, move forward one block at a time where there is a lot of sort of repetitive terrain, they would quickly become frustrated and want to quit. And I guarantee you that's what a lot of people that fire up Ishar do. They explore the world, they find themselves incredibly, incredibly lost, and then give up. Because this is not an easy game to map. One of the reasons why dungeon crawlers are often set in dungeons is because, one, it makes it easier for the developer because everything is at a 45-degree angle. It's easy to set up your levels when everything's just, you know, straight corners. And two, it's easier for the player to map. If you're playing an old-school dungeon crawler where it doesn't have auto-mapping, you can get out a piece of grid paper and you can grid that bad boy out without much trouble. This game is not that way. This game actively discourages your ability to map because you are constantly running into things as you kind of maneuver around. Like, you'll run into trees.
Or a
nothing
bush.
Is set, like, yeah, yeah, or a bush. Nothing is set at square angles. And it's just really hard to know where you are all the time.
Now wait a minute, but before you keep going there, this, tell me if there's ever been in a game in your whole life that included a, when you, as soon as you start the game, you have a map and it's the most worthless map. It just literally, right. It's a map of the world. And it's got right. like an X. It's like, you are here. It doesn't follow right. where you go. It doesn't tell you any. There's nothing marked on it. It's just
there's
the most worthless
there.
Map. And by the way, when you're looking at the map, feel free to get attacked and killed, which I'm sure you're coming to that in a minute.
So this game does happen in real time. Okay?
Oh, it sure
it's
does.
Not, it's not like a roguelike where, like, you move and then everybody else moves and time stops until you move again. This game, much like Skyrim, stuff is going on all the time, okay? So you can be getting killed, like you said, while you're looking at the map or while you're trying to manage your inventory or any number of things, okay? So you got to be on your toes. That said, I mean, is it ideal? No. Should the action stop when you go to your inventory screen?
Yes.
Probably. Because, you know, this game, the interface is not what you call first class.
No.
When you attack, you have two buttons above your character. You have a button for action and a button for attack.
Yeah.
And you've got to click on that attack button. And if you've got multiple characters attacking, now,
which
this
is
may
weird.
Be something, this may be something that I don't understand, but in the, when I'm watching the playthrough, like, everybody, the guy was able to attack with multiple, I don't know if there's hidden keystrokes that allow you to attack with multiple people or what. I was not able to figure that out. But apparently it's possible. So the way I would do it is I'd click on attack above the first guy, then click on attack with the second guy and go back and forth. It was very inefficient and I died a lot.
Plus, okay? Here's the worst part. I mean, listen, everything you said dead on. God forbid that you hit action instead of attack.
Oh, yeah.
You panic.
Because, that's a perennial favorite of mine.
Because you're boned. The action, yep. You're like, you're trying desperately to turn off the action window. And in the meantime, whatever's attacking is beating the crap out of you. This game hates you. It hates you for even attempting to play it. And now you have to be punished. It punishes you with the map. It punishes you with the guys you fight. It punishes you with the landscape. Because like Boat said, there's just stupid, annoying, it's like a maze. And you're outside. And your guy's a warrior. You can't get around this bush. You're right. An idiot. And plus, someone thought to themselves, you know what? What gets over when you're playing a game where you take one step at a time? Let's make lots of crap. All the buildings, we'll make them round. We'll put one door on them. So you're in the, forever, you're going around the buildings like an idiot.
Yeah.
You're strafing these things. You're strafing the shoreline like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you'll just be trudging along, and you won't see anything for miles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, one of your party members just gets killed, and you're like, what's happened? And suddenly there's a bear or something. He's just beating the crap out of you from behind. You don't know where he's come from. There's no
warning.
Which, again,
it also, the Skyrim comparisons are many. In this, because that happens all the time in Skyrim too. However, in Skyrim, you're able to easily swing around and attack. In this game, What I often did was I would get my strafe and turn buttons confused, and I would hit the wrong thing.
Yes.
And because all the scenery is virtually identical, you have to rely on the compass point, the compass rose, to see, figure out what's going on. This is not an easy game to get around in. Now,
plus the arrows are stupid looking.
They're incredibly stupid looking.
Yeah, so I agree with that too.
That said, there are a couple cool things that I want to mention. One is that this game is full of music.
Yes.
It's got music and sound effects, and the music changes depending on where you are in the world. So even though the game didn't have it within itself to give you a map, it does tell you what region of the map you are in the top right corner. And as you move into different regions, you get different music, which is cool.
That reminds me of
another thing that's neat about this game is that whenever you buy weapons and armor and you equip it, you actually see it go on to your guy. You see like a torso view of your character.
Yeah.
And you put the armor on him. I think that that's awesome. I wish more games would do that.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, listen, they got some of this they got right. I like the fact you could go into pubs and just listen and learn stuff. That's
right.
Cool. I like stuff like that. I like the fact that people, sometimes NPCs will just walk up to you and be like, hey, I'd like to join your group. And, you know, I like that. There's stuff like that I like, but the interface, and we've covered a lot of games of this era, and often we've come across these various interfaces. Some are good, some are bad, some are firmly in the middle. This one is firmly in the middle, except for the fact that being in the middle gets you killed in this game, because the game has, like I said, it doesn't give you any breaks. Like the first time I played this, I was dead before I made 10 moves, you know, because guys came up. The attacking in this, like you said, it's weird. It's sometimes you'll pick up a guy in your party and he'll have gold and stuff, and sometimes you won't. I had a game where I just come across a empty house that had a 16,000 gold in it. I was just and that's more than I'd ever had. And I was like, holy smokes. And so I went, it still doesn't go that far in this game, which is another thing we should probably talk about. See, the fact that, like, it's tough to get, like, stuff for your characters. I had characters walking around basically naked.
What happens, and this is something that I discovered by doing some reading online, is that the only way that you can beat this game is to recruit everybody to your party, take their gold, and then kill them, and then recruit more people. Because once you've recruited somebody to their party, you have access to their entire inventory. So what you do is you just strip them naked, you take all their gold, then you kill them, then you dismiss them from your party.
And see, that's horrible. That really takes you out of it when you have to go that route. And I had a sneaking suspicion from watching some other people play that was a common technique, which I just don't like that. I mean, when I play these role playing games, quote unquote, I want to sort of pretend I'm kind of in a role playing game.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't want to go out and kill a bunch of goose. What did you think? You know, we got into combat vaguely, but I mean, something else I want to get into was like trying to cast in combat. It's nigh impossible to do that. You just everything happening in real time gives you no chance to do anything. Mm-hmm. It's infuriating, and the attacks sometimes can be really bad, and sometimes stuff attacks in mass, you know,
right,
and it's tough to deal with.
There's a lot of things, like, this is one of these games where you get scrolls, but then you have to get the scroll of reading to be able to understand the scrolls. You've got to mix potions, but there's only one place that you can find an empty file in the whole game. What's the deal with that? That's no good.
I don't think I ever found one.
Yeah, and so there are a lot of things that, like, I just feel like they make the game unnecessarily difficult. And you don't have to make a game, like, you don't have to be that frustrating to the player. Like, when you role play, you want to be able to jump in and say, yeah, I'm a fighter. I want to start the game with some sort of a cool weapon so I can kill some guys, okay? If you play the game as a mage, you don't want to spend the first half of the game wandering around with no offensive capabilities just to find the magic file so you can start mixing up some potions, you know?
Yeah,
like,
you gotta
give people more to start with.
Yeah,
and
it's funny, when you look at the box for this, I was reading the back of the box, because they usually have some good stuff on there. So get this, Boat, you'll love this. So it says more than 100,000 views with footstep-by-footstep updates of the landscape, exceptional 3D graphics. That's not the part. The part that gets me is this part here. flexible and user-friendly gameplay, accessible for beginners, challenging for experts. Well, they got half that right.
Yeah.
It is brutal. And here,
first of all, your user interface, that's just a fallacy. It cannot be good for beginners and challenging for experts.
You know, let me ask you another question, Boat. So let's say you make it to a town, okay? How many times did you go into the same shop over and over again? How many times could you not find the shop you'd just been to?
Right, right.
Because these towns have like 10 buildings that are all identical in every way.
They've got tons of buildings. Why could you not put a sign on the building that's the shop or the inn?
I don't know.
You know? And it's not as if you have to design tons of assets, because there's tons of towns in this game.
Yeah.
And you just put the same shop sign on the outside, you know? At least the amount of time you spend just wandering around in these little villages, just trying to find the door.
Yeah.
You know?
You need help, healing. You're looking for weapons. This reminded me an awful lot when I used to play EverQuest in the early days, when I would be my level wouldn't be high enough for me to actually be with the places that I stumbled into, but I was there anyway. And so everything was deadly. And then I didn't know where I was going, and so I would just lumber around like an idiot, you know, and that's sort of the feeling I got in this. I just felt like I was scared of everything, because you could die, and once you lose a character in this, depending on what part, how far into the game you are, like, you could be insta-boned. And if you lose, I mean, and you could get,
if you lose a character that's carrying all of your gold,
yeah,
you might as well just reset.
Yeah.
And that takes us to the unforgivable sin of this game.
Yeah. I know where you're
this
going.
This is a game where if you want to save, you've got to pony up. And not just a couple bucks, a lot of bucks. You got to spend 1,000 gold to save your game in this game.
Yeah, which is, that's insane. That is absolutely insane. I knew about this. I'd read enough about this. And so, and by the way, just to feed your party, it's 500 gold. I mean, what kind of monetary system are these people using? Like a shield was like 1,500 gold. Apparently, this world has been stricken with inflation, Boat. You know, we need to knock the rates down or up a peg.
It's timely as today's headlines, yeah. Aaron.
But I'd heard about this because I started playing this on the Mister, and I was like, you know, and I got killed a lot. And I was like, listen, I can see where this game is going to go. We're going to have to go to save state land.
Mm-hmm.
And so Cloanto's Amiga Forever package was tapped for this one. So I saved early and often because I was scared to do anything. The sad thing is, underneath all this is something that's not run-of-the-mill, I will say. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that the back of the box says there are hundreds of monsters. I believe there are probably a goodly amount.
Yeah.
Of monsters, is because I saw.
Well, I watched most of this playthrough.
Yeah.
And I saw different monsters in every section of the game. A wide variety of boss monsters. You do go into sewers and dungeons and things like that, and they are what you think they are.
Yeah.
But
I got into
everything
one.
Everything is very well drawn. The graphics in this game are stunning. I mean, they're very...
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I really like the art in this game.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Of course, there's absolutely... The monsters might have a little bit of animation, but that's about all you're going to get.
Yeah.
The end of this game, Aaron, we have to talk about the ending.
Which I don't know the ending.
The ending of the game is you go to Ishar, which is the final area where all the bad guys are hanging out. And you defeat a series of mages. And when you defeat the last mage, there's a shot of you holding a sword, and there's a bunch of pillars around you, and it rotates. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's the end of the game. The game, it just rotates, and I think the pillars eventually stop. There's no the end. There's no congratulations. There's no credits. There's no nothing. That's it. So you can chalk this up as another example of an Amiga game that has an extremely unsatisfying ending for those people that put the time in to actually learn all of these areas. Because, again, this is a game where the overworld, I mean, it's nigh on impossible to map. However, if you want to try this game out yourself, I highly recommend you go over to oldgames.sk, and they have a fully realized map of this game. Where with things you can click on that tell you where everything is. You see the locations of every inn, of every shop, of every dungeon, plus the entire map of all the dungeons and everything. It's very, very well done. I used that extensively as I moved about the world. I cannot imagine playing this game without that. It would be not fun.
I think the map and save states are a must. You know, that I'm going to recommend this game, in all honesty, because if you like these sorts of games, I think this is a pretty neat one. Like I said, graphically, the music is nice. I like the variety. You know, I agree with what you said about getting out in the open, despite the fact that we've whined about it. It's still better than always being in a dungeon. The dungeon parts are cool, at least the one I was in, and the one I'm looking at looks pretty good. I like a lot of it, but I mean, you've got to be prepared for the, and you, first of all, you, before you go anywhere, learn and understand the interface. It's not super difficult, but it's clunky. You know, there are parts that are great, but sometimes it's hard to get the stuff. And for a game that's in real time, it's kind of, you have to be quicker. So you really, some practice is in order. I think there's a lot of fun to be had if you're patient with this one. It suffers from just its age, I think, the time it was put together. I think it's still a quality game, though. And I've heard that the sequel is really good. So
people that go on about, you know, the Eye of the Beholder and Dungeon Master and stuff like that,
yeah,
I wonder if they've played this game. Because to me, I had more fun playing this than any dungeon crawler because there was stuff to look at. There was stuff, you could see the sky, you know? Just having that variety of different locations and different towns, being able to go into, it's like you're going into a world, you know, and that's the thing that I want in a role-playing game.
Yeah.
I want it to feel like an alive world that's full of things that don't just want to kill me, but people are living out their lives. And that's what this game gives you.
And part of me, you know, I'm a big Eye of the Beholder fan. I don't like Dungeon Master too. I'd say the interface in this actually, if you could smooth this interface out, which again, I have heard they have in the second one, the interface is actually, I prefer it in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. It's also more, like you said, it's more showy, that's for sure. But I kind of like it. Dungeon Master is a little bit like it. But there's a lot to love here. And it's not one I'm aware of, but I did read a lot of people talking about it and reviewing it, and so it is known to a certain set of people. There's also alignments in this which come into play, particularly when you with your inner party alignments, but other stuff. There's alignments. So I always like games like that. I thought it was pretty interesting. Did we get any hot Discord action on this thing, Boatster?
We did. Let me pull these up real quick. We got a couple reviews. The first one comes from Level Lord. He says, played Ishar AGA for the last 2 days, and this is one tough cookie. Graphics are beautiful, and there's some music in the game, but the game is hard. And what I meant by hard is that the missing marked position on the map to show you your location. So I had to track my movement over open world by memory.
Yeah.
Battles were standard for this kind of game, but not the interactions with the NPCs. Those are strangely absent. I love the opening screen and beautiful image of the castle in the background, followed by the epic music. Something that looked like coming straight from the Hobbit world. Back to the game. Managing the inventory and swapping things around felt clunky, and Ishar 2, which I played back in the day, was much better and a more polished game. My constant frustration while trying to move on and progress further in the game is unforgivable. Score 6 out of 10. Bumface Poohans writes, this game hates you so much that it makes you pay 1,000 coins to save your game. Bumface Poohans rating, 5 bums down.
Man.
Yeah. And Graham, W. Vebke writes, I haven't played this game enough to give it a review, but so far it reminds me of a dodgy curry after a night of beers. At first you enjoy the appearance, as the graphics do look quite nice and the music is good, but a bit of a bellyache appears, having to use pencils and paper to map things out and record things to remember like it's 1983 all over again.
Yeah.
And boom, it hits you. You don't feel like progressing further due to the unfair nature of the mechanics in the game.
I will say, Boat, I think you and you clearly were warmer to this than I anticipated. I will say that. So that should tell people something, because Boat would rather jab a pencil in his hand and play these.
Yes.
But if you are armed with a save state player, you know, whatever you're using, mm-hmm. like this one, you could probably play this on the A500 Mini, for example. Mm-hmm. If you've got your map, the interactive map,
yep.
You've got something. Like, you've got something that's going to be some fun for you. And that, I think that, mm-hmm. and also I will say, I did have a look at the ECS version of this. The HEA version is a 256 color version. It's very lovely. And that's the one. And plus, like I said, even if you don't care about the graphics, they bug fixed it when they ported it to AGA. So that alone, because I can't imagine playing this with more annoying bugs in it. Because, you know,
right.
Just the interface is wacky enough. I looked this up on eBay, or on Lemon Boat. I looked it up on eBay, too. So Lemon, the ECS, OCS version, they gave a 6.67. The AGA version gets a 7.89, which is one of those rare times where the AGA version gets a higher review. I don't know why that is. I looked over the magazines. All the magazines of the day, I had a look at that. Just a couple I mentioned. Amiga actually gave it an 82%. Amiga Format 76. The Joker, 74. So you know it's gold. A boat. Mm. There's a magazine here called the Amiga Point of View that we I've never heard of that one. They go to
I'd like to check that out. What is the Amiga Point
of View? I don't know. I guess he's give me your money. The average magazine rating, according to the folks over at Lemon, was 83% for the.
So pretty high.
And then for the AGA version, the average was 80. Of course, there's probably less magazines. So still in your low B area.
Mm-hmm.
I looked this up on eBay to see what it was going for these days, boat. You could get the discs for this thing. I saw a couple sets for going for $10 to $31. Again, there was only two. The complete in box, you're going to pay some bucks for this thing, boat. I saw these things in the UK for between $75 all the way up to $125. There's also a trilogy set of this. I saw that for sale in Italy, only in Italy. And you're looking at $157 and $250 they're trying to get out of this thing. So it ain't cheap, brother. One last thing I want to mention here is that this did get, I won't say poor because I don't know for sure which system it started on. No one does. This had a version that played on the ST and the IBM DOS version. Now, these looked very similar to the Amiga AGA version. There's also, now get this boat, and I looked like gangbusters to try to find footage of this. There's the Atari ST version. Looks like the ECS OCS version, but there's a 256 color version that was made for the Atari Falcon.
That's the lost version. No footage exists.
I could not find anyone, but apparently it is, in fact, standard with the AGA Amiga, the Falcon version. So, hey, if anyone watching this has this or has played it, drop us a comment and tell us what you thought about it, because that's one, you know, we occasionally touch on the Falcon, but we never get to do anything with it. And I can tell you right now, emulating it, I'm done with that. Me and Brent. Right. I think that's all we got on that one, boat. An interesting game. I didn't hate it. I was infuriated by it, that's for sure. But it's got potential.
It'll be interesting, you know, if Ishar 2 ever comes to the fore, it'll be interesting to check that out and see what kind of improvements they made.
I agree with you on that, boat.
Let's head on over to our community update section of the show, Aaron, see what's been going on our YouTube channel.
Okay, so we had some releases, just a couple releases this week on the Amigos Retro Gaming YouTube channel. Please check us out over there. It's at Amigos Retro Gaming, three words. First thing we've got here.
Oh, and Aaron, we should mention 5,000 subscribers.
Oh, yes, we should probably mention that. We'd like to thank everyone for helping us out. Our little old podcast, it's a podcast that just has a video element. We finally, after a while, we've topped 5,000 YouTube subscribers, and we would like to thank everyone if you've ever subscribed to the channel. Listen, we've been all over the map over the years, but we've done some wacky stuff. We've had various states of quality over the years, but a lot of people hung with us, and it is a an achievement to hit 5K. I feel like a very proud pappy, boat, to have hit that many. And we'd like to thank everyone that supported us and that subscribes. And if you haven't subscribed, come on in, brother. We're better now. It's Amigos. It's Amigos Retro Gaming. That's three words, and it's on YouTube. Boat, this first game was the old R. Sinclair. You want to talk about this one?
Yeah, so we did a game called Firefly, which was really interesting. This is a much different kind of shooter than I've played before. It's less of a shooter than it's a sort of collecting of the egg yolks and then a sort of luck-based transport model where you're trying to make your way across an overworld screen by collecting these things and moving between different energy things and teleports and things. It's a tough game to sum up in a few words is what I'm saying, Aaron.
It's the best and worst game I've played for a while. There are parts of this game that are bafflingly good, and then there are parts that are just double bafflingly stupid and wrong, and they ruin the game to a certain degree. But if you're interested in checking it out, I mean, it's definitely a game that is... it's something. It's certainly a conversation piece. Firefly for the ZX Spectrum, just right past the 40th anniversary boat. So that was nice. The only other thing we've got up on the Amigos Retro Gaming channel here is a little something me and the Brent put together. Boat, the old NES bootlegs. This was a suggestion from a listener, and of course, you know, me and the Brent, we'll get in there and try anything. And I'll have to say, I didn't know much about the old NES bootleg scene. I'd seen Frodo's stream on NES Homebrew, so I was scared stupid when going into this. This turned out to be okay. We learned.
What's important to realize that both of these games that you talked about were developed by actual development teams, versus those homebrew games was like one guy in his basement.
And I will say, I learned a lot about the bootleg scene on the NES, which I didn't know. We picked a couple. I will say that it turns out, and I didn't even know this either, but we picked a couple of the more ballyhooed bootlegs. I took a look at the NES version of Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo.
Quite impressive.
It was. Did you actually try this one out, Boat? I can't remember.
This was, you know, it's weird. I have the EverDrive, and I have what's called the Smoke Monster Pack, which has a billion Mario hacks, but not this one. So really? I don't know. I probably got it, and I didn't know how to find it.
You could actually, if you Google Super Mario World NES, you could actually play this in a browser. You can
play both these
in a browser, and it worked great. Mm-hmm. But this was quite an incredible feat by the Hummer team. So we looked at that one, and we also looked at Brent's. This, I guess, Brent's game has sort of a cult following. It's called Kart Fighter. It's not what you think. It's a fighting game featuring the characters of Mario. You got Mario, right. Toad, Luigi, Peach, all those goofs, Bowser. And it's a fighting game a la like a Street Fighter or something. You got health bars, the whole nine yards. Definitely bootleg. Nintendo wouldn't have let this one go. But it's not bad, actually, as far as these things go. We were surprised at this one, too. So we had a good time on this show, Boat. If anybody wants to check that out, that's over on our Amigos Retro Gaming channel. Now, let's move on to our sister channel here, Boat. We had a lot of action this week on here. I want to start off with what went down last weekend, Boat. Just right where you're sitting. What a night of wacky antics that was. Mm-hmm. It was the Taze Valley Classic Computer Club.
Take it in, folks. Take it all in.
Yeah, I know. There it is. I see Matt's Heine and everything. So it was sort of an all-Apple extravaganza, except for at the end where we played some Coleco Adam. I had just looked like a proud papa, Boat. I got my Apple 2GS and set it up over there. And we played, what was the first thing we played, Boat? Tell them.
Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail. We were having a good time with that, Boat, weren't we? And it was time to switch games. And right before I switched games, the Apple 2GS blew up in a huge fiery ball of doom, Boat. And it was very depressing. But it come to find out that the thing that blew up was actually something that blows up on all these things. And it actually is like a filter. It's a filter capacitor that I've already ordered a replacement. In fact, if you're watching at home, this is the exact moment when it goes up. I remember, because I've seen this about a million times. It's funny, because in the little window, you can see our stagecoach sinking into the water. That was apropos. So I'm going to take care of that. The main event of the show...
Also, you can watch John Marshall put together a Macintosh Performa.
Yeah, you want to explain why he's doing that, Boat?
Because I took it apart, and I couldn't get it back together.
What was happening while you were taking it apart?
I was drunk out of my mind.
That's what I was waiting for right there. And so John Marshall saved everybody's bacon there and put that back together. The main event of the show was the world premiere almost. I mean, I've only seen one other video about it, which is the FujiNet for the Coleco Adam Boat. Now, me and Brent had a long, which I'll get into this in a minute. Me and Brent had a long drawn out conversation about this. But this thing was a double awesome, wasn't it, Boat?
This thing is the man.
Yeah.
This thing is awesome. You know, I'm a huge fan of the FujiNet on the old Atari 8-bit. And the Atom version does not disappoint. You know, with a couple clicks, you get online, you connect it to the Wi-Fi network, and then boom, you're in. You're downloading everything.
Yeah,
everything.
I mean, the Coleco Atom had Wi-Fi capabilities, which astounded me, and the ability to grab this something. It was a total win in the FujiNet. So it started off horribly, and it got a lot better as the night went on. So anyway, if you're interested in checking out the Classic Computer Club, we are good to go, and it's on our Amigos Stream Team channel. Next on the docket, and I put this up, this was the pre-show me and the Brent did for the ARG I just talked about. And this is a show where me and him have a massive fight about the FujiNet. And it was, people kept telling me this was gold, make sure you post it. So I did. So if you want to see me and Brent, and also Brent decides that he hates my joy in this. So if you want to see Brent actually try to make me less joyous, then you will enjoy this. This is rare Brent stuff here on that. Hey, we know a guy, a certain guy, his name's Jack Flack. And you may have heard this, but just the other day was the May 4th boat. And Jack Flack's not going to let May 4th go by without some Star Wars action. May the 4th be with you. You get it? And
Yeah.
so, right on his show here, look at, by the way, look how good Flack's looking there. He's
It
looking
looks great.
svelte. Look at his, he's got great hair. I mean, he looks great.
I'd love to have flax hair.
I don't know what Flack's doing, but it's working. Keep doing it,
Yeah.
buddy. But anyway, he debuted the new C64 Empire Strikes Back game.
This
This is,
thing
yeah.
is looks amazing.
Yeah, this is not loosely, but mostly based on the old Parker Brothers classic for the Atari 2600, Empire Strikes
Right.
Back, where you drive the snow speeder in and you try to take out the Imperial walkers. They did a bang-up job on this. This makes the Atari version look like double garbage. This has got textured backgrounds, multiple backgrounds, different sorts of enemies. It's got tons of stuff that thing didn't have. And the games are split the stages. This was stunningly good, wasn't it?
I loved it. Yeah, I caught some of this at the beginning. Rob was, you know, it was tornado time because Rob lives down in Tornado Alley. He was catching us up on the news. But I went back and watched the Empire Strikes Back part. I can't believe this is running on a
I
C64.
know.
I mean, it's amazing.
I came in
Amazing.
late, and I had to ask him. I'm like, what are we looking at here? He also takes a look at a modern Pac-Man, and then he gets into the main event of his show, which is a modern port of KC Munchkin to the C64. I don't know if you saw this boat, but me and Bert are
No.
both big Odyssey 2 fans,
Yeah,
and we're
man.
both big KC Munchkin fans. A great game. And they've done a pretty faithful port. They didn't get the sound quite right, but they got most of the rest of it looking pretty good. It looks like a lot of fun. I'm anxious to try this with myself, Boat. So if you want to check out Rob's stream, please check it out. There's a lot of good stuff on there. That's Sprite Castle Plays, The Empire Strikes Back. I'm assuming that this is going to be the next Sprite Castle. Flack, you could correct me if that's wrong, but I'm assuming the next podcast will also be Empire Strikes Back. Last thing on the docket here, Boat, and this is a classic stream from not too long ago. This was my this is a disaster stream where I looked at PlayStation exclusives by Psygnosis, Boat, and
Really?
people got a big kick out of it. I would also even include the pre-show with Crank Letter, this radio show. If you haven't caught my Friday night Amigo Aaron disaster streams, before each one of them, I do an old time radio show. It's like a warm up, and this is a really good one, so I left it in this time. But this is a look at the Psygnosis making stuff for the PlayStation after, of course, they've left the Amiga, and this is stuff that they made exclusively, or not quite, some of it not quite exclusively, but close enough. But most of the stuff on this stream was exclusive. It's funny. Despite the fact that Psygnosis was working hand in glove with Sony, they made stuff for all the various consoles and computers of the day, and much to Sony's chagrin, until ultimately, I think that's part of the reason why Sony sort of basically took over entirely. But they made some crazy stuff that is very Amiga-like on the PlayStation. And so we tried out a bunch of different stuff on here, some soccer games, we've Colony Wars, and some of the more obscure versions of Wipeout. So if you're into that sort of thing, check it out. We had a lot of fun on that. Again, I want to mention this is on the Amigos Stream Team channel. It's three words. If you could add that to your subscription list, we'd be much obliged as we try to get the word out about this stuff. That's all we got, Boat.
All right. Well, Aaron, it's time to announce the winners of last week's Amigos Patreon Song Challenge. And we had quite a few.
Hold on a second, but to interrupt you for a split second, Rob says that on Sprite Cast this week, it will be Maniac Mansion, and then it'll be The Empire Strikes Back the week after. So there you go. Two good ones coming up there.
Couple good ones, yeah. So last week's song was Life on Mars by David Bowie.
Oh, man, that was a butchering.
And Daniel Crabtree got that right. Pac Billy, Pixels of Dawn, Blip Blop, Barkbit, Mitsuyama, Pajako, 6502, and Edvin Helland all got it correct. And so congratulations, one and
Hold
all.
On.
If you know this week's Patreon song, send me an email at john@amigospodcast.com, and I will announce you as winner on next week's show. If you'd like to be on the Patreon list, head on over to patreon.com/amigospodcast, and you can be part of the song yourself. So here we go. I type of bum face poo hands. Miss Edwards pets a la alarm. Albert can't breathe like what we like. Mr. Chippy at a price, Herman V. Wanda Lichesum, Mark Richardson. David Hearn, Ram OK, Ram OK, David Terrace. Jude Carlos, Matthew Mobius. The Phantom Magnus, Seth Yates. Alistair Fiend, David Z. George Rosensky, The Amiga Show. Daniel Crabtree, Super Famiking, Crazy Loomis. William Vinter, Sky Heavy System Zig. Bundy, Frag Lord. Mark Byland. Olaf Hope. Alien Breeder, David Velociraptor. Calbert Boy, Lane Denson, Daniel Williams. Luke Hudson, Bomb the Base. Frodo, Soul Incisor. Tech Mitch Young and Mr. Cola Bernard Lucas, Jerry Diddington, Zog Love Reflection, Simon Ledge, Captain Crispy Killer Bites, and Caffeine Gary Heather, Freelance Kate Fox, David Pickford, Cameron Armstrong, Andy Jones, Lobster Manator 10 Minute, Amiga Retro Cast, Bernard Quinn. RMC 10, Drew Joseph Harrison, Kyle Letter, Rob O'Hara, Matthew Larimore, Andy Craig, Sean Zoe, Bark Bid, Roland Burke, Andrew Muncher, the Zombie, Leif Kalan, Alan Kebab, Checote, Level Low, John Marshall, Matthew Perron, hit it! Ricky DeRosa, Creepy Dead Boy. Biggest City Z, The Slow North, Stefan Sorgan Mortensen. Edmund Helen, Christopher Hassel, Chris Foles, Lauren Giroux, Graham Bebke, Adam Batters, me. O'Brien's Retro and Vintage, Gary Hucker, Paul Harrington, Doug Styles, Tess from the Crypt, Josh Nan, Adam Bradley, Jonas Rulo, THT, Eric Nelson, Kenyon Bingston, Brutal Barracuda, Darren Coles, Jason Warnes, Pixels at Dawn, and Kjellbjorn Barman.
I can't believe that was a formally written song by somebody, but, you know, listen, one thing's for sure that this, after your songs, Herbert, this is always the peak of our listener and viewership. And so that's why I do want to make a two quick update announcements before you move on into the name calling here. Because we always forget this stuff, and I'm glad Frank was here to remind me. It's coming up, everybody, Saturday, May 21st at 4:30. You know what it is, Boat. It's a little
ICC.
Yeah, we should make a song about that. No, it's like I thought, don't. Anyway, this is the International Computer Club meeting. It's going to be a happening. You know, we've already had a good response here. The sign-up sheet's up. Looks like we've already got five people set up to show off their wares or talk. We've always got room for you, though, my friends out there in listenership land. And if you're interested in presenting or demonstrating or talking at the International Computer Club, please, by all means, head over to the International Computer Club section of our Discord. There's a sign-up sheet in there. It's a simple link. You just click on it, add your name, it'll automatically save it and put the information in there. It's simple stuff, and literally nothing is almost nothing, I should say. As soon as I said nothing, someone's going to come in there and want a bikini dance. But almost nothing is off the mark here. We'll take product reviews, product demonstrations, modding, console stuff, computer stuff, anything. It's all good. Programming tips. We're always down for any of that stuff. So again,
I'm doing Dance of the Seven Veils myself.
Oh my God, man! We're gonna need more veils. That's for darn sure.
That was the seventh veil right there.
Oh Lord! Again, this is Saturday, May 21st at 4:30, early start time for our European buddies. And if you are not a member of our Discord but are interested in presenting, you can send me an email at argpresents@mail.com. Now, there's one other item, Boat, and you know what it is, because it's named after you, in honor of you, your brilliance, your genius, and your singing exploits. That's a little thing we like to call Boat Fest, and it's coming up quickly, Boat. Tell everybody about Boat Fest.
June 24th and 25th at the Holiday Inn Express lovely Hurricane, West Virginia. You can be privy to 30-plus video game consoles, computers, a virtual pinball machine.
Way more than that. Yeah, tons.
People from all over the United States and Canada are coming to this thing. It's a time to hang out. It's a time to be with your buddies. It's time to play some good games. We're going to be recording all of the Amigos stable of shows there. Plus, Jack Flack's going to be there to record Sprite Castle. We're going to have high score challenges. We're going to have giveaways. We're going to have door prizes. We're going to have karaoke. It's going to be a really, really fun time, and it can all be yours at boatfest.info. Only $25 for the ticket that gets you in all weekend long, and they're going fast, so snap them up now.
Yeah, we're going to have Frank from Retro Rewind. I guess Jason Warren's as well are going to be down. Frank's going to be down there taking care of business. We're going to have stuff for sale from our good buddy Neil. RMC has sent some stuff over. I think we're going to have some magazines there as
we're
well.
We're going to have tons of every issue of Amiga Addict is going to be for sale. So if you haven't had a chance to pick them up. We're going to have tons of retro Amiga magazines from back in the day up for sale. There's going to be a swap meet. So if you've got some stuff you want to unload, maybe bring it along with you. And like I said, if you've got some old computer stuff, bring it to Boat Fest. We can fire it up and have a good old time.
And I should mention that a good chunk of the Team Speaker regulars will be there as well, Boat. If you're interested in hanging out and gaming with those guys, they're gonna be coming down there hanging and banging. Should be a good time, Boatster.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what else is a good time, Aaron. Watching us live every Friday night on Twitch.tv. Twitch.tv/AmigosRetroGaming. You can join the folks that have subscribed to our Twitch channel. Hey, if you've got Amazon Prime, you get one free Twitch subscription every month. And if you like watching us on Twitch, why not throw it our way? It doesn't cost you anything. We want to thank Christian Russell, the Mr. Chip, Da Crabs MTG, Wide World of Retro, Pixel Rages, Gustavo Hits, Grepwald, Orom, Grizzla, Paco Take, Uber Scuba Diver, Jigglebox, Disastrous, Rushi MSX, Blow Jellyfish, Explorer, Retro Jerry, Mitsuyama, Still Adolescing, RetroRewind.ca, Oil of Hope, Darkwing 602, Canadian Retro Things, Petzl, KZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZ Buck Owens, Who Janus, 88, Monzames, Lubin 808, Amiga Live, Gary Heather, Mash Pie, Evil 4077, Twilight Zoner, Real Retro Dude, Frodo NL, Holy Guacamole, Blue Train, Pishbot, Barkbit, Wington Wolf, John Marshall 3, and Back to 8-Bit with Hermsky, who's also got a great YouTube channel you should check out.
Yeah, in fact, Hermsky's put up a couple of really good things here in the past couple of weeks. Also, a shout-out to our buddies over at Pixel Gaiden. If you haven't checked out their podcast, they're part of our podcasting family. Three great guys, and they put out shows on the 1st and 15th of every, or is that right, 15th and 31st, something like that, of every month. That I was just listening to their new show this time around, so please give them a shot as well. They're very entertaining.
All right, Aaron, let's see what we got coming up next week.
Bam! That's what we've got coming up.
I was expecting you to, wait a minute.
Is that...
There we go.
It's funny because it's a puzzle game, but I can't remember the name of it. Do you remember off the top of your head?
Next week, Aaron, we are going to be playing Jumping Jackson.
That's
picked by Barkbit.
Jumping Jackson. Well, I've never heard of that one either, Boat. So
yeah.
Hey, puzzle game, I'll take it after what we just played. This thing was a time sucker, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks as always for listening. We will see you next week. Until then,
adios.